and Arnie Sherman.
You're listening to What Do You Know on News Talk KGVO, AM 1290 and 98.3 FM. Arnie Sherman, a good Sunday morning.
A good hot Sunday morning to you. We've been in the midst of this extended heat wave. It's never been, since I've lived here, since 1997. I've never seen a July where it was 90 plus every single day.
And to what do you attribute this to?
Well, climate change, obviously. But, you know, there are people that are deniers. I mean, it's clearly climate change. I just saw a photograph of Mount Rainier and how much snow it's lost in just 2 weeks.
That's not good.
And no, the effects of this is more than a, you know, 100-year, you know, dryness. The weather patterns are shifting and changing. And with shifting weather patterns and not being able to go outside as much, I mean, nobody finds it enjoyable in a hot day, you know, particularly a really hot day or extended hot day. You know, you look for indoor things to do. And as a kid growing up and in my early work career, I played a lot of billiards and did a lot of pool. And we have Lindley joining us today to talk about, you know, Big Sky Billiard Supply, and what's been going on with the industry. There's lots of changes I hear in the industry. There's numbers decreasing of players, but that made that, you know, those things are very cyclical. There's still almost 40 million people who play billiards regularly in the United States, so it's a significant sport.
She is one of a very few in this area that actually focus on this category, which is really interesting.
Billiards, ping pong, you know, table tennis, shuffleboard, you know, as you would call them, what?
Analog.
The analog games.
The analog games. No more on the phone.
Maybe we should open a business called the analog, you know, the analog store.
That's a good
store,
idea, actually.
You know, and or the analog place.
But you've always told me you don't like retail.
I don't. We can own it. We don't have to work in it. But even pinball machines. I mean, think about that. The old-fashioned pinball machines. You can't replicate that online.
I love pinball.
Yeah.
And I love pool.
Well, you like the sound and the feel and, you know, the whole experience.
Yeah, it's a fully engaged experience.
Yep.
Anyway, I'm looking forward to speaking to her. Our guest after the break is Lindley Nelson from Big Sky Billiard Supply. Back after this. Arnie, we are back with our guest, co-owner of Big Sky Billiard Supply, Lindley Nelson.
Hey, Lindley, good to see you. How you doing?
Good to see you, Arnie.
It's our first time Scott and I are back in the studio together with a guest in over a year.
I know, this whole face-to-face thing.
It's totally different.
It's better.
It is much better. So tell me about your business.
Well, we are a specialty retailer, brick and mortar. We don't do anything on the internet. Well, I mean, obviously we have a website, but we are a seller of pool tables, shuffleboard tables, anything game room or man cave related. And we deliver all over the state of Montana, pretty much. I would have to say Western. We don't go to Billings.
But you'll go. But what's interesting, right, is there you don't have a lot of folks that are in your space here locally in Montana.
Right, and we have had competitors. There have definitely been competitors. I think they found it incredibly difficult. You know, there's only a couple of big brands in the space.
Right, Brunswick.
Like Brunswick and Olhausen. Right. And the other brands are, you know, we lost a lot in 2008 and 2009. We lost a lot of small billiard manufacturers. We kept some too. So, but dealership, you know, not having Brunswick or Olhausen and having the draw of that name is incredibly difficult. Those are the big names in the business.
Well, so, Scott, you wouldn't buy a billiard table sight on. You wouldn't just go online and buy a billiard table. I wouldn't do it.
I wouldn't.
No, but you do have some competition online from Amazon.
Absolutely.
Are there people that just buy them without ever seeing
Believe it or not, that we call them the clickers.
I mean, that's kind of weird. I mean, there's certain things you couldn't buy online.
Click.
But yep. A billiard table, you know, you'd want to press
or press a shuffleboard table.
Or any of that kind of equipment that you're going to put in your man cave or in your house.
Right.
I'd like to see it first. I'd like to see what kind of pockets. I mean, it's just one of those things where you would, it's like buying a car you've never seen. you know, online and paying for it before you see it.
This is the example my husband gives, is he says, you know, because we get a lot of times, we get people that call and say, will you set up this table that we have sold to a couple in Big Sky? And we say, that will be a lot of money because this is a lost sale for us.
Right.
And when we tell them how much, they fall over because the, you know, the big markets like Seattle, Los Angeles, they have a lot of people running around doing that kind of thing. But in Montana, we don't have a lot of population. So we don't have a lot of people running around doing that. And so we charge accordingly. And, you know, that's a lost sale for us.
Sure.
And they don't understand that. And this is something that this industry is grappling with as we speak. We belong to a group online that is the Billiard Installers Facebook page. And all the time, they are bringing up, what are you charging to do this kind of thing? Why should I be doing this? Why should I be going and setting up their table?
Yeah, it's like installing somebody else's carpet.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, you go buy carpet somewhere, and then you call them up to install it for you.
Pretty exactly. Much.
That's not where the money is in the business.
No, not at all.
When we were kids growing up in New York, there were billiard halls all over the place. When I was in Chicago, there must have been 50 or 60 of them. The industry has changed. I read somewhere that there's about 36 million people that play billiards regularly, and maybe 10, 12 years ago it was 48 million. So what's the lay of the land of the billiard user, the billiard player?
This is actually one of my favorite topics because in Montana, it's very different. If you go to Washington, Oregon, California, you know, Nevada, any of those states, you are going to find pool halls, and you're going to find the old pool halls that you remember where you walk in and there's, you know, 20 Brunswick Gold Crowns or 10 diamonds or whatever it is. And this is an industry, right? Well, in Montana, a liquor license costs $1 million in a populated area because we put an economic limit on licenses.
Right.
Therefore, we have a power base of people that have them and have political clout. And if we went and asked for an exception, for instance, I was told by Corey Stapleton one time, he said, well, just ask for an exception. And I said, right, yes. The Tavern Association would be happy to let me have that exception, wouldn't they? Yeah, sure they would.
And the message there is that a pool hall can't afford $1 million liquor
license.
That's
exactly right.
It's not really a restaurant. It's not a bowling alley where they have a lot of concession. People come in and shoot pool.
They
want to drink.
Pool and they drink.
Right.
Yep. And, you know, and a lot of these are family oriented so that you have a lot of video games on the back wall. You can have dart leagues, you have pool leagues. So there are other things, and I've run the numbers on this many times because we would love to run a billiard hall. It just doesn't work. Right.
It doesn't pencil out.
Outside of the, you know, the table at a bar, you know, you walk into a, we have one, right? We have three in the side. And then there's one at the university.
The university still has tables. They did take some out to put gaming machines in, which is quite big in the younger market.
Right.
But yeah, you can still go play on Brunswick 9-foot tables, which is what a lot of people want to go play on, but you can't drink.
Right.
And, you know, it's not the same. Without a liquor license, it's not the same. In Montana, there are some people that are being innovative. And there's a guy in Billings, for instance, who has I think it's a flooring shop. And upstairs, he has put in pool tables and he is hosting tournaments. And he is a social club. He is registered as a social club. So you can bring your own alcohol.
Right.
And you can show up. But you can hold a tournament, which is really what brings the money and the people.
Just like in bowling.
The big tournament.
I mean, just like in bowling.
In bowling.
I remember watching billiard tournaments on TV. They used to be,
on ESPN or ABC. Do you find that, you know, in this day and age, when young people are starting to, you know, they use technology for their gaming, are you starting to see the demographic change? Are we getting younger people? Is there a way? Is there like a family
junior league?
Yeah, junior league.
There are in states that have pool halls, tournaments, etc. Obviously, in Montana, it's difficult because you have to travel to Spokane or Seattle or Oregon to go to big, sure, or Vegas to go to big tournaments. But there is a junior league. And it's difficult because I know that there are so many parents. We have one particular family that comes into the store who they have two kids, very talented boys, and they'll know who they are. And the boys can play darts and they play pool and they are amazing.
They're hustlers.
They're hustlers. Yeah. They're very young, very innocent looking hustlers.
Fast Eddie Felsen, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Rodriguez, I think. Yeah. Anyway. anyway, so these kids are fabulous. And if these kids were in an environment where they could, if they had a league or, you know, a tournament that they could, they would be there. So it's kind of too bad that we have this limit in Montana.
There's another aspect of it which you may or may not know, Scott. You know, billiards and pool.
Right.
You know where the word pool came from?
No, where?
You know where, obviously. You know where. Pool came from pooling of money to bet on games.
That's right. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
So the billiards and pool, essentially, in our minds, are the same game, but...
Billiards is different.
Right, yeah, but we think of it as the same.
Sure.
But
so they don't mean it. They don't
the pool came out, that vernacular came around a pool hall as where you could go and bet on games, whether you were playing or not. You would pool money, just like in a boxing match, amateur boxing match.
Let's go boxing.
Yeah, because otherwise it would have been pocket billiards was the original.
So tell me about the kids, though, that are the local family that are really good at these analog games. These are analog
games. I know.
Which is a refreshing thing to hear.
And that's why parents come in and buy pool tables. They buy dart boards. They generally steel tip dart boards instead of the soft tip because they want, you know, they want their kids to use their minds. And I myself like to use the little scoreboard that you tap and you say, okay, I hit this and this, and then it calculates my score just because I'm terrible with numbers and adding. But they want their kids to do the math.
Right.
And to really enjoy a sport that is not on their phone.
Plus, it helps you learn, you know, it helps you learn and see the benefits of, you know, studying, you know, geometry in school.
Well, and the it physics, really, because you learn compression. If the ball hits the rail and is at a certain rate of speed, you're learning, you know, does that come off quickly? Does it bounce a long way the other way if I put English on it?
Right.
So there are a lot of things about physics.
Sure.
In billiards that I think are great for the young mind.
When I was in my early 20s, working in halfway house, the way we would talk with the residents who were just getting out of prison was around a pool table. Is that where they used to? And in a year of working 70 hours a week, and probably during those 70 hours, 10 hours a day maybe, or around a pool table.
Really?
I was really good.
Really?
I could beat any of the guys that were coming out.
You've traveled the world. This pool, do you see people playing billiards in other countries?
Yes.
Where?
Well, they play, in the United Kingdom for sure, they play...
Snooker.
Snooker.
Yeah.
Which is a more complicated game.
Snooker is a huge sport in
it
Europe.
It is, okay.
Yeah. And Dubai has a lot of pool tournaments, regular pocket billiard tournaments versus snooker. Snooker is huge in Russia, the European Union, and a lot of places in Canada where
it's either too hot or too cold outside,
right?
And they want an indoor sport,
right?
You know, it doesn't take up a lot of space,
right? Wow. It's small.
Some
footprint.
People think it doesn't take up.
Well, I mean, it's not like a a 20 or 40 lane, you know, bowling alley.
A 40 lane bowling alley as compared to a 12x6 snooker table, right?
Right.
So, well, tell us a little bit about the family that's playing. That's more active in this space. But then also, talk a little bit about who's buying tables. Who are the new customers who are putting these products into their homes or these games into their homes? Because it's changing, right?
They're moving here to retire, and they're moving here to have a second home. I would say that most of our tables in sales in the last couple of years have come from people moving to Montana to escape metropolitan areas. They can work from home.
Mm-hmm.
They have found that they don't have to live in, you know, they can go live in a beautiful place and do their work. And
you don't have to play pickleball.
And you don't have
But that's
to,
also a big...
It's a huge... It's a big retrofit.
I actually carry pickleballs just to keep people happy.
Do you? See?
It's one of the fastest growing sports in the United States.
There's one up... So, question. So, people are moving here. They're putting pool tables in. They're putting shuffleboard
tables
in, which are also great, like, party product things to kind of gather around and have fun with a beer.
Well, and ping pong table tennis is huge. Yeah. Okay. There's a table tennis that fits on top of a pool table. There are some people who are purists who want the table tennis to be separate. So we do a lot of table tennis. The other things of my favorite, foosball. I love foosball.
Oh, yeah.
You know, air hockey. I'm not as big a fan of air hockey just because there's only one thing you can do with it, right?
Right,
smack the, My other favorite is bubble hockey. And Ice Checks, Ice is the company, Checks is the brand, has a bubble hockey. And I think they've got one at the ice rink. And what a blast. Sorry, but that is a great game. I love it. It's one of my favorite to play.
Yeah.
So, Lindley, what happened to your business when COVID-19 hit?
We just kept going to work.
I mean, what about from a customer perspective? Did sales increase?
It increased dramatically. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
No, we did more business, obviously, over the phone.
And,
you know, we very likely could run the business over the phone. I think I'd have a lot of dart players who'd be really mad at me for if we did that. But, you know, we've had a business brick and mortar retail location for a long time. We have discussed not having a brick and mortar just because it's expensive.
Sure.
You know, it's one of those things that you don't necessarily have to have because pool tables pay the bills. But it gets you in front of people that you wouldn't normally see.
And you can talk about other sports, related sports. They might come in for a pool table, but then realize they also want a dartboard and darts and, you know, I mean.
Yeah, they want a full game room.
Right. And I think a lot more people are putting a full game room.
And people don't always know how much room they need. They don't know, you know, what kind of lighting. Lighting is huge in a game room.
Right.
And, you know, to explain to people that a pot light above a pool table isn't going to cut it is, you know, it's a conversation you usually have to have in person because you have to show them the pot light's coming over their head and, you know, it's causing shadows. So it is sometimes a personal conversation.
Do we have dart tournaments in Missoula?
We have a huge dart league. 1080 runs the dart league here in town. And then there are others who run leagues both north and south. So we have.
And you had mentioned when we first spoke that you're not just involved in lighting and installations, but also designing these spaces, right? Mm-hmm. Because the space is as important as the table.
Yeah.
Talk about that a little.
Well, it's funny. I get a lot of pictures sent to me via my cell phone or via email. And they give me the dimensions and they show me the room and they say, you know, my wife won't let me pack it full, but can I put, you know, a shuffleboard and a pool table and a dartboard and can it all work? And so, you know, having to discuss the space you need around a table, that's a conversation we have quite often.
Are a lot of these places first homes or second homes or kind of varies?
A lot of second homes and a lot of retirement.
Where?
Oh, Big Sky.
Big Sky.
And
the Yellowstone Club.
Stock Farm, Whitefish area. There's a lot of second homes in Montana. We're seeing a lot of people.
We couldn't afford a pool table when I was a kid. We did have a table tennis, a ping pong.
We didn't have a room big enough for one.
We put it in my father refinished the basement, and it was enough room. It wasn't very high because it was a regular basement, but we were able to play. What is a good ping pong table cost these days? Well, if you're going to say, if somebody comes in and says, what is it going to cost me to set it up right and do it right? What are we talking
about? $1,200. I'd say $1,200 to $1,500. And that's for a really nice one that's set up correctly, has all the International Society of Ping Pong people. I don't know what the name is exactly,
but official table.
It's the official dimensions. You can get them under $1,000, and they're going to be a little less. You know, there'll be a little thinner. They'll be a little They won't be 5x10, right, that kind of thing. So, I mean, and, you know, Costco is always a competitor. They always right. have, you know, something that beats us out in price. But they generally are going to carry stuff that, you know, a family of median income is going to be able to afford. So right. that's not, you know, I look at them as being, you know, not necessarily a competitor in that arena, just because we do tend to carry right. The higher end.
I mean, they carry golf clubs, but I wouldn't go there and buy golf clubs.
You right. know, at Costco?
Yeah.
But you buy golf balls there.
No.
Because you lose a lot of
them. I don't buy.
We buy our gloves there, though.
Really? You don't buy golf balls
there? No.
Why not?
No, because I use a certain, I use either two or three Bridgestone. Brands that I use. Bridgestone's one of them.
Yeah.
And I either buy them at, you know, a regular sporting goods store, or I buy them online. I mean, golf balls you can right. buy online.
That's yeah. true.
You know, I can't deliver.
That's very true.
So second homes all over the state. What was it like through COVID, support-wise, from the state and from the in county and just from the federal government? Like, were you, as a small business, because really, this was the emphasis of the thing I wanted to talk about. It's like, what's it like being a small business trying to power your way through what is a very difficult time?
You know, we received help when we needed it,
mm-hmm.
and that was after a month of being open but not having anybody coming in the door. It was just us working, and we didn't have any sales. We didn't have any of our normal through-the-door sales.
Right.
And we received enough to pay our expenses for right. that month. I didn't apply for more just because I'm a conservative, and I actually believe in fending for myself. So we did not apply for more, and we How made come? Plenty of money.
But you're paying taxes.
Yes, I know, but I don't need to spend the money.
Okay.
I don't have to have There's it. And, you know, me. I should probably have gotten it. I should probably have done it, but honestly,
there were a lot of conservatives who did.
Yeah, there were a lot of conservatives who did. But we didn't need it. We'd, and honestly, other people did.
That's
so.
True. That's a good point. But it's interesting, like, because you're one of few, if there aren't really any competitors in your space other than nationally and regionally. Like,
right.
you're really... Like, this is your,
it's
you really are Big Sky Billiard Supply.
Yeah, it is a, it is something that a person needs to be trained to do, and it's an apprenticeship. So, you know, when we look at, our daughter has been in the business now for many years, and she has spent many, many years just learning the ins and outs of how to do this right, because there are many people who try and get it wrong, and we fix those things.
Mm-hmm. Well, you bring up a really interesting point. Let me just do a quick idea. Our guest is Lindley Nelson. She is the co-owner of Big Sky Billiard Supply. Arnie.
Yes.
In thinking about what Lindley's saying, we talk about succession, right?
Succession and planning.
Succession
sure.
planning. And how do you do well, that in a mm-hmm. business like that?
Well, she has to be trained. Will your daughter take over the business when you retire?
I don't know.
Ah.
I don't know.
And then what happens?
You know, I was thinking about that on the way over here today, because I thought, you know, this is a topic. I've taught marketing and operations management.
Right.
And I, you know, I've been involved in academia long enough to know that succession planning is a thing. And you're supposed to pay attention to it. And for many years, I just thought, okay, when I get to that point, I'll think about it. But you really need to think about it from the 10-year point on.
Well, 50,000 boomers are retiring every day.
Yeah.
And
it's huge.
Many, many of them, a majority of them are involved in small business operation.
Yep, that's right.
And what do they do if their kids don't want to be involved in it? Farmers, ranchers, you know, billiard supply.
Right.
It's a tough thing.
But imagine not having a succession plan for that business.
Right.
You're one of one. So then does that mean the whole industry leaves Montana? And then
well, you got to find somebody.
I mean, it really
somebody.
Does have those types of imp- that
well,
sure. impact.
That's why we've been thinking very seriously about it. And my thoughts on it is that I think that we can advertise, if Kate decides not to take
right.
the business, which I don't know that she won't, but it's right. something that she needs to think about. I would advertise it as a business that,
right.
you know, has been doing business in Montana for 26 years. At that point, you know, almost 30, that has a certain amount of goodwill. We would train the new owners
mm-hmm.
For at least 2 years.
Right.
And it should be somebody with some kind of retail experience who understands purchasing, and because purchasing and inventorying is a huge part of the business.
Absolutely.
Well, it's a and perfect small business rather really than going is. Into running a coffee kiosk. I mean, if somebody That's wants right. to run a business that doesn't have, you know, over demanding hours, right? You don't have to be open, you know, 10 o'clock at night or any that sort of thing.
Well, it's a perfect business for a young, hungry couple who, you know, really want to make it in, you know, maybe not make just the regular amount of money. Maybe they can push it and,
sure.
you know, make a little bit more than the regular amount of money. I mean, on the average.
Sure. Let me ask you this. In many sports, there are innovations that come along, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tennis, you know, the rackets change, golf, the golf
oh,
equipment.
Oh, my word.
They're selling you golf equipment every 6 months. Any innovations in billiards?
Huge. Okay. Unbelievable.
Tell me about it.
It amazes me that they come up with something new every
it's
year.
Something new. It's a stick and a ball.
So it used to be, I know, it used to be, you know, the shaft of the stick is wood, right?
Right.
It's a hard maple.
Right.
And most of the good ones have been cured, or the people who are making them have paid attention to the wood.
Right.
Well, then they split the wood in a pie shape and put it back together, and they call it a low deflection. So they make it into essentially a laminated
right.
shaft. Okay, so that was big for a couple of years. Then tips, oh my gosh, you can pay $30 for a tip made of leather from cows that drink milk. I mean,
really?
It's ridiculous.
Right, and then there's the waiting. That, you know, the whole waiting of the handle.
Oh, yeah. I mean, oh, and McDermott came up with something this year where there's an actual rod that goes through the queue. It's called their H series. And it actually moves within the queue so that the balance... It gives you.
Corking. That sounds like a back. What do they call it? Back corking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's unfair advantage.
It well, and I
because it puts more velocity against the shot. Right.
It does.
The metal is going forward.
Yeah. Right.
It's crazy.
Then you have to be able to manage that velocity.
I think they're allowing it though. I haven't heard that they haven't. But anyway, they're very expensive naturally. But there are some brands, Kamui, McDermott, Viking, you know, the Predator, that are run obviously by people who understand branding.
Right.
And understand, you know, product development and how to bring new products to market. So, I mean, there are some really talented people in the industry.
So what's a good a billiard cue cost these days?
A couple hundred.
Yeah. Well, a good one. I had one in a leather case. You know,
you are a hustler.
No. But when I was playing, when I started getting pretty good, I said I got to get a good, you know, cue.
Do you travel around the country for like the trade shows?
We go to one trade show.
Where do you go?
We go to Vegas.
Yeah.
They unfortunately again this year they're doing it over Zoom. So
really,
it was a bummer. We were looking forward to going to Vegas because generally, and it wasn't the case this year. The BCA has the Billiard Congress of America has their big tournament at the same time that the BCA also has their trade show, and so this is when all the vendors come and introduce their new products and you know give specials for the year. So you do a lot of buying. But unfortunately, this year, either they didn't have enough commitment to the show or something happened where they went to online, which is a real bummer.
So
we like going to Vegas.
Tell me about the stars in the sport. I remember, this dates me a little bit.
This is my husband's area.
But I remember a long-haired Asian woman.
Mm.
Who was the...
The Black Widow.
Oh, the
Black Widow.
Jeanette Lee. We actually have a signed picture
of
Jeanette. And she did play a game with Lance at the trade show. And I don't know what happened on that. But he saw Eva Mataya.
Right.
These are actually older names now.
I know they are. Yeah.
Name two.
The Black Widow.
Three films that feature billiards as part of the...
There's more than three.
Well, give me three ones that off the top of your head.
Well, obviously The
Color
Hustler.
Color of Money.
Yeah.
Right.
And then the other one that with Tom Cruise and Paul Newman.
Color of Money.
No, the Hustler. But then there was a follow-up.
There was a follow-up.
Cocktail? What are we talking about?
No.
It was called... Lance would know this.
Yeah.
Is Lance more of the... He's the aficionado, the billiards
yes,
expert?
Yes, absolutely.
You're the operation. You're the,
yeah,
the
I'm, operations I'm marketing, marketing and operations. I do everything else.
Well, you know, but you're a good spokesperson for the sport and for what you're doing here. Let me ask you this, which I also think is a refreshing take on things. Lindley talks about Costco and Walmart and others, that they're building, they're not competition. They're actually building the marketplace so that when somebody advances, they can come to you.
Right.
Right?
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, in a lot of cases, small businesses are terrified by the larger entries. And this has been the case for years. This has been, you know,
nothing new.
What I saw when just after I got out of grad school, what I saw was the success of people who said, okay, I can't just be the general guy anymore, but I can be the specialty guy.
Right.
I can make sure, you know, we talk about brick and mortar being successful, but the reason that brick and mortar is successful is because they have high inventory percentage rates. In other words, if somebody comes in and they want something, you've got it.
Right.
And generally, that's the kind of thing. I mean, you'll see that, you know, people, I'm trying to think of a good person locally who does that, but it was like Wagner's Furniture.
Right.
You know, if you want it, they've got it. And, you know, this is the kind of thing that small businesses need to realize is that they create the market, but you can specialize and you can, if you have a niche and you know how to do something that they really don't know how to do, you can do it. And I, you know, I talk to a lot of people in small business who are frustrated because of, you know, online competition. And, you know, what Lance tells the guys online is you come set up that table yourself. You know, they call him and say, will you set this up? And he says, hey, you made all the money. You go set it up. And that is the competitive advantage that we have, is that we have the knowledge, but we also do it well. So it's not just that we have the knowledge of how to make a pool table. If you play on a pool table that it doesn't roll right, or somebody set it up in the pockets or kind of gallywumpus and, you know, the rails aren't quite right, you will know it immediately.
Right.
And it will be annoying. So, you know, you have to do your job well. I mean, we obviously we have people in town here who do their jobs well, and they provide a quality product.
That's right.
And that is the key to survive.
I think that is.
Well, in this case, particularly, I mean, it's an item, a pool table that I would never, ever think of buying online and trying to set up myself. I mean, if you're going to buy a pool table, make an investment of several thousand dollars, you want it to be
professional. That
tens
comes
of
from that
dollars.
Actually comes from the middle class. We're middle class. That's how we think.
Right.
There is a class of people in this country who don't think that way. They have designers who basically they're calling their designer and they show up and it's all done. And those are the kinds of people that, you know.
Well, the people at Yellowstone
you.
Club.
Yeah.
I mean,
you're a subcontractor. That you know instance. What you're doing. And you get a reputation. So if you show up at the Yellowstone Club and you get the job done right and they're happy with what you do, you will be back.
Right.
And that's.
Well, a stock farm nearby here. I mean, I can't imagine anybody at the stock farm setting up their own pool table. Right?
No.
No, they're hiring. No.
They're subcontracting Big Sky Billiards.
Right.
So there is it's a good story though, because if you are thinking about starting a new business or you're graduating college and you have a skill or a trade, something that you're really passionate about, there is a place for you.
Absolutely.
There is a place for you. Don't think that you need to fit into this big space. Carve your own space. And it takes time too. That's the other thing. 26 years is not a short
That's
amount
right.
of time.
Yeah. So, and there are hard times.
I was going to say, what's that like? Yeah. Because if it's all roses.
I mean,
roses.
2008, 9, 10, 11, 12. Yeah. they were times when I didn't know if I was going to be able to pay my rent. So those are times that you have to just hustle and get it done and make sure you come out the other end for the good times. And beware that the bad times may come again.
Sure.
So
putting aside the issue of a liquor license, let's assume somebody has a liquor license in town and has some space.
Mm-hmm.
Would another billiard parlor work here?
Oh, absolutely. It would be packed.
Yeah.
It'd put some diamond tables in there. It'd be packed.
People here want to, we're a social community anyway.
Yep.
We're not a closet, closet community? Not closet.
Bedroom.
A bedroom.
Yeah, you got the wrong part of the room.
I won't edit that out.
Yeah, no.
Anyway.
Yeah.
This town would come out and you're right. Go to a place.
When I was living in Alexandria, Virginia, they opened this brand new billiard parlor. And at the time, it was very cool. It had cool music, cool sounds.
Mm-hmm. Beer.
You know, they had a cool bar in it. The tables gave you lots of room to move around in. They had good stuff to...
drink.
Well, then they had good pool cues. And
yes.
The equipment was good. We would go there all the time.
Yeah.
It may be a fun thing to do.
Yeah. There is the problem in Montana. The place in Bozeman, is it Ale... Works.
Ale Works. Yeah.
They opened up with many, many tables, right? And what they found was that the dinner seatings were going to get them more money. And so, in a way, the person that does open this kind of establishment really has to want it because it's not going to be the same dollars per square foot that you're going to get feeding people or gambling.
Yes.
Gambling is huge.
Yep.
If you have gambling, and they tie the liquor license to gambling,
right.
So there is gambling. You know, you can put
the average machine in Montana makes $1,500 a month.
Exactly.
Is that right?
So, what do you do? Put machines in or put pool tables in? And it really does almost have to be a labor of love.
Are you legally allowed to gamble on pool in Montana?
I know that now I am applying for a gambling license as we speak for the Sir Optimus of Missoula bingo booth. And it is, I think you are not. Obviously, they turn a blind.
Yeah, I mean,
I think you actually have to have
some
sort of...
Well, you're a member of the Optimus?
Sir Optimist International of Missoula.
Right. Where's that located? Where are they? Where do you hold your monthly meetings?
On Zoom.
Really?
Yeah. Lately, we have been having them at the mall, but in the community room.
See, what I would do is I would have like six or eight tables, and then I'd have one in the middle with a spot. I would have
the
main event pool table.
Yeah, the tournament, the one main tournament
table. Right. Where it would cost more to play it per hour and all that kind of stuff and, build it up so that people would come and watch,
event tournament. I went to a pool hall one time in Dallas that was, I think it was Humperdinck's, and they had rooms that had pool tables and the curtain, you could pull the curtains and there was a phone booth that you could call your waitress, right?
That's serious billiards.
This is a labor of love. This is saying, okay, I'm just going to... But, I mean, you were paying per hour.
Right.
But this is saying I am going to make less per square foot on this particular part of my bar. Whereas I may be making more per square foot just by the people I'm drawing in. So, I think it's doable, but it is a little bit of a labor of love.
Yeah, and you have to have a good concept and a good, a good...
Absolutely.
Well, the Union Club has a bunch of tables.
Yeah, but I'm thinking about, what's hot right now, for example, for group sports is Top Golf, right?
Yep.
But you can't play Top Golf.
Or axe throwing.
Right, or axe throwing. But Top Golf, you can't play in a place like Montana all year round. I mean,
you could.
In the snow and, the ice and the wind. But... A billiard parlor, all the time.
Yeah, you're right.
So if you came up with a good concept and a good, tournaments and all kinds of stuff going on, you could really draw, a regular crowd.
Do they have pool tables over at that place over on Expressway, the go-kart place?
Yeah, they have, I think they have a couple of valleys.
They do?
Small valley tables.
Okay.
Obviously this, for them, they're more focused
family.
On their paint gun and the go-kart.
Yeah, and a million video games that they have.
And so I don't think that's obviously not their focus, but, I mean, you can play pool.
You got it at the Guild. Do they have tables at the Guild? They have the one on the hip strip. They have pinball machines.
Pinball machine. Now, they have some amazing pinball machines. I love pinball.
Yes, pinball is great.
Well, talk to us about the shuffleboard.
Pinball and billiard together would be a good kind of set.
Oh, I think it would be fabulous. I would put pinball machines all along over the back.
Yeah, right.
It'd be great.
Take up less space. I love pinball too. But yeah. Have a shuffleboard. Different type of user.
You know, right? It's
a game of skill.
It's a game of skill.
And, there's a lot of beer flowing.
Yeah. I mean, I played shuffleboard all in college. I went to San Diego State for my undergrad.
Right.
And we went to Kelly's Pub. And Kelly's Pub had a 20-foot shuffleboard table, really well lit, scoreboard, you know, but it ran all along next to the bar. It was shoved in there. And I mean, you had to squeeze together to play. And then everybody all lined up. But I mean, it was a huge draw.
It's great.
And right. Kelly's managed to get a band in. I mean, this place was tiny. And
they
it
knew
managed
what they were
to get
doing.
A band, right. A pool table, and a shuffleboard table. And they had horseshoes in the back.
Right.
Kind of like Evero Bar. Evero Bar has a lot of stuff they do up there.
Arnie, did you ever play shuffleboard?
I have played shuffleboard.
I love shuffleboard.
I do, too.
My nephew played on the Miami of Ohio broom team. They had a the ice
curling?
Version of
curling.
No, not curling.
It's
broom
ball. It's
broom
shuffleboard.
Ball.
Yeah,
oh, really?
But it's dry. It's not on ice.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. It's big on the East Coast. It's
very big. He played in the national championship game.
I love
broom
it.
Ball.
Yeah. And
when we were talking, when you know, you think about these things, like you played this,
right.
You played a pool when you were at that doing the halfway.
Right.
It does bring up great memories, right, of a time when things were a little easier, simpler, and analog again.
Well, the other good thing about billiards and pool, compared to many, many other sports, is there's no age competitiveness. And there's no you know, physique, you know, workout, you know, age.
Minnesota Fats.
You know, an 80-year-old can play a 12-year-old.
Yep.
You know?
Right.
Minnesota Fats. Was
well, I mean Jackie Gleason,
right? But like in the 70s on ABC's Wide World of Sports,
well, right.
They could actually show 3 hours of pool playing,
right.
And talk about different players. Like that's how I remember all this.
Sure,
stuff, is back
well, you
then.
Know, now it's all streaming. So
right.
You know, my husband watches a ton of pool.
Does he?
Yeah, and it's all streaming. And there's a gentleman who is working on a sports center in Idaho. That will have 150 tables and be sort of a, and he's talking about it. And, you know, a lot of times talk doesn't pan out, but the idea that he has is to have it be a feeder so that the big tournaments come to him. He has, you know, places all over the Northwest that kind of feed into it. And he's a diamond dealer and people love playing on diamonds. So diamond tables are...
And what are the big brands?
Yeah, diamond is this... What kills me about diamond is that they are this dinky little company out of Illinois that used to be... I mean, you wouldn't even think about it, about a diamond table. You know, Brunswick Gold Crown, right? That's all anybody wanted to play on. Well, somebody at Diamond went out and made sure that they made a hell of a table. And they made it so that when you go from a 7 to an 8 to a 9, it all plays the same. So it doesn't change. The angles don't change. The pockets are still as tight. The, you know, everything plays about the same. So that's what people love about diamond tables. And the Eagles and Hamilton are getting some diamond tables because they know this is a huge draw. And this company went out and got themselves into tournaments. And the players just loved the tables.
Right.
So this is where Diamond is now. They've beat out Valley. They've beat out Brunswick. They've beat everybody out because they produced a superior product. They went out and just busted it to make sure they could, you know, be seen. And now they can barely keep up with demand. In fact, they can't keep up with demand.
Who makes a great shuffleboard table?
Championship. Actually, Brunswick makes one of our favorites.
And they're 20 feet long?
But see, that's the thing. Brunswick makes a home shuffleboard table. Olhausen makes a shuffleboard table. Brunswick makes a shuffleboard table.
What's the
a
length?
A home table is going to be 12 to 16 feet.
Okay.
And a bar will
be 20?
A bar is going to be 18 to 22. 22 is the tournament size.
Oh, my God.
We delivered a 22-footer out to the stock farm to a gentleman who loves shuffleboard. And it is the longest thing you've ever seen. I mean, you stand at the end of it and you're like, hello.
Yeah, where are you?
Who knows?
So here's something that's interesting. In the men's division, the top 10 current billiard pool players in the world. There's only two Americans in the top 10.
That's right.
Really?
It's Taipei and Greece and Germany and yep. Austria and Russia have the top five slots.
Is that right?
So, yeah.
Are there rules in the tournaments about smoking at the table?
Oh, I don't think they let you smoke anywhere but in Europe anymore.
No.
Maybe not even in Europe.
Oh, no, there are all kinds of rules.
That lobby has won, okay? They won the war.
They do the tournament like in cycling, in stages. They're stages, as they call them, to these tournaments.
Yeah, that's right.
And they're double elimination and all that kind of stuff. And there's time limits in terms of how much time you have to take your shot.
The Malaysian kids are amazing.
Yeah.
They're some of the best pool players on earth.
There needs to be the Queen's Gambit. There needs to be a version of that for billiards.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Stream it. You can stream this at any time, anywhere. Yep.
That's right.
This is going on all over the world.
Well, that's what that gentleman wants to get into, because in the U.S., we really have not entered the true competitive spirit that's going on all over the world in billiards.
Yeah, by the way, the website is dazn.com.
Dazn.com
is where you can they stream the tournament. You can
watch them.
You can watch them.
And anytime, Facebook anywhere. Has become sort of the place to go for people who want to play in tournaments or be involved in tournaments. Usually when Lance looks to play, there's something in Montana, it's called the Top Gun, and he pays attention to that and goes and plays in their tournaments. So if you are not on Facebook, that's really where you can find all the information.
Are there any cities outside of Missoula that you're aware of that have more a pool
Butte?
Hall? Butte, I was going to say.
Yeah, Party Palace, man.
Party Palace?
Party Palace has, I don't know how many tables they have, but they have tournaments quite often. Yeah. Butte's a pool playing town. They're netty over in Butte.
It makes sense to me.
Yes.
Doesn't it?
Yeah. It sure does. All right, listen, let's do a quick ID. Our guest is Lindley Nelson, co-owner of Big Sky Billiard Supply. We're talking all things billiards, all things shuffleboard, or all things analog games. Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll have our final moments with Lindley. Back after this. Arnie, we are back with our guest, Lindley Nelson.
Lindley, you got us all excited now. I'm thinking about where I could put a pool table. How do folks get a hold of you?
You can call us at 549-1100, 549-1100. And the best way really is just to email me, because I am constantly checking my email, and it's bigskybilliards@gmail.com. And
if someone wants to come by and look at what you got, where are you?
We are at 3900 Brook Street, right across from Pizza Hut, 93 South in Missoula.
Close. Arnie, I think you're thinking billiards.
You know, I played it. I mean, it's one of those things where intensively for 2 years, almost every day I did it.
Really?
And then over the years, well, the disappointing thing for me was you get away from it for 2 or 3 years, and then you go back to the table. You can't do
it. You're not quite as good.
No, you're not even anywhere near.
It takes a little while to get back into it.
It does. I used to do behind-the-back shots. I could flip the ball over another ball and bring them back, all that kind of stuff.
It was also a great place to bring a date.
Yeah.
Right? Because you could show your skills.
You can do something.
Yeah, the last time I dated was during the Civil War. And we had defeated the South. And we
hit a musket.
Let's go play some pool.
Yeah. Anyway, Lindley, you're a great guest. And I knew you'd be a great guest, because when we first talked, she had a point of view, which we love.
Yes.
On this show.
Yep.
So we're going to have you back. And I know you listen to this show, so if you think of any ideas, say this to our audience all the time, topics or guest suggestions, please email me at scottrichman@townsquaremedia.com or message us through our Facebook page at News Talk KGVO. Other than that, thank you. You've been a delightful guest.
Wonderful. Thank you.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
See you next week, Arnie.
Take care, Scott.
Thank you for listening to What Do You Know?
I can't wait for the next show, Scott.
I'm excited too, Arnie. If you'd like to suggest a guest, send me an email at scottrichman@townsquaremedia.com. We'll see you next week. And thanks for listening to News Talk KGVO.